You're listening to Pastor Bob Streeter.
Good morning. I see Bruce has a clock up here. It doesn't mean anything, does it? I mean, you don't pay attention to that, but man, that's big. So I guess I'll know if I'm too long, you know, whatever. There's certainly nothing like the family of God, is there? I just love coming here. I'm just so glad that we're connected. You know, we're going to be connected forever and ever, like it or not. And if you hate it or like it, oh well. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, turn there. Matthew 11, first 19 verses. So after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and to preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to him and asked, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out in the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law of the prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by our actions." Let us pray. Father, set us free from religion, but give us power to show Jesus Christ to others, to be a light to our world. In your name, amen. I came to Christ around 30 years ago. 30 years ago. Amazing when I think of how quick it went. 30 years ago, I'll never forget, at a church in Port Huron, Michigan, I was just young. Now, if you know, I wasn't raised in the church, so I didn't know what to do. You know, I didn't know the rules. I was pretty raw. I was a barbarian. I was pretty uncivilized. And I came to know Jesus, and when you do that, you don't know the rules. You just do things a little off. Like one thing I did every week, I sat in a weird spot. I sat up front. Nobody does that. I sat in about the second pew. And every week, when the pastor gave the altar call, every week, my heart would be so full of joy and so moved that every week I would go and kneel. I didn't care what the message was. I'd go and kneel before God because I didn't know the rules. I would just cry and open myself before God. I didn't know the rules. I didn't know what I was supposed to act like. I didn't know that I was supposed to put on a mask that made me look like I was okay. Well, I was dying inside. I didn't know I was supposed to fake it because I didn't know the rules. I prayed. I believed something weird. I believed that God talked to me. I also didn't know you shouldn't hug everyone that was around you and tell them that you love them. That's who I was. And people would come in, I'd just wrap my arms around them, male, female, kids, adults. I didn't care. And people looked at me like, "Huh, he'll get it later." Because I was so uncultured. I also invited everybody to church. I mean, if you came into my presence, I was inviting you. I didn't care what your answer was either. You could say, "I've got a church of my own." "Well, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Just come to ours one week." Because you know what? I believe the church was the hope of the world. And I was so enthusiastic about it. I'd ask somebody, "Hey, want to go to church?" And they'd say, "I don't believe in God." "I don't care. It doesn't matter. Come to our church." I was so uncultured, I didn't know the rules. I also believed that this book was alive. And I'd speak to it, and it would just bless my heart. I'd weep at times. I'd be amazed at times at things that it said. And I'd tell people, "Can you believe this?" And people would look at me and say, "He's so uncultured, so raw. He'll figure it out." My friend Dale Prevett and I got saved about the same time, and Dale and I were just on fire for God. And we went to our pastor, and our pastor showed no discernment whatsoever because we said to him, "We got to speak to our Wednesday night crowd." Now, if you understand anything about church, your Wednesday night crowd are supposedly the pillars of the faith. They've been in the church 108 years, every one of them. They know the rules. But Dale Prevett and I, we went in there raw, and we went in there telling them, "We got to wake up as a church. We got to get excited for Jesus. We got to make a difference in our world." And we confessed our sin openly. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't received very well. We are so raw. I didn't know the rules. But don't worry. I figured it out. I got my proper mask on, and I became a pastor, and I quit being so uncultured. In fact, what I found myself being was a full-time minister, but a part-time follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, I fit in so well that I'll never forget a camp meeting that I went to in Indiana. Camp was huge. And Sunday night was always the evangelistic service because it drew the biggest crowd. And everybody had Sunday night services, so instead of having your Sunday night service at your church, you'd go to the tabernacle at campground, and there was just thousands of people at this camp. And so they would preach an evangelistic message every Sunday night. I'll never forget the Sunday night. Here I'm a pastor. I mean, I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ. And the minister makes an altar call at the end and asks for unsaved people to come forward and kneel. Now, I was saved, but I knew that I needed to go. Have you ever had that feeling where your heart's about beating out of your chest and your hands are sweating? And I knew I got to go. God's speaking to my heart. I need to go. But you know what I did? I did the cultured thing. I said to myself, "I can't go because what will people think if I go for a salvation message and kneel at the altar?" And I didn't go. I'll never forget when he closed out in prayer, and we walked out of that sanctuary, my heart just broke because I knew I did the cultured thing, but I knew that I didn't obey God right there. I'll never forget walking around the campground and going to the back roads and just walking by myself and just weeping. Weeping that I'd become so cultured and so good at putting on the mask that I wouldn't even listen and pay attention when I needed to. And I hated who I'd become. I hated that I was so cultured. Look at what Christianity looks like today. Then read the Bible and see what Jesus says it should look like. Sometimes I don't blame the world. Maybe this is a terrible thing to say, but sometimes I don't blame the world for despising the church and Christians if we aren't what the Bible tells us that we should be. Too harsh, sorry. We're related, don't forget. Christianity becomes about going to church instead of being the church in a world that needs the church. Because I believe the local church is the hope of the world. If it wasn't for the local church, let me tell you what, I wouldn't even be walking with God today. But you know what? I joined a body that loved me and cared about me when I was really unlovable. And that's what we need to be, right? We need to be the church and quit talking about coming to church and be the church. In this passage in Matthew, Jesus shows us the uncultured way of Christianity, and he invites us to take off our masks and get back to uncivilized, barbarian Christianity. To get back to Christianity that Jesus was dreaming about as he agonized on the cross on our behalf. Matthew 11, 1-3, I just read it, but I'm going to read again. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and to preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one to come, or should we expect someone else?" Now, that to me is a fine question. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? I think it's a good question for people that are searching, or people that maybe are new believers, or people that are just heading in that direction. I think it's a fine question for that group. I even understand when you use that question when you're in great pain, when great personal tragedy comes into your life. But he let me tell you what, I've never read the passage and not been surprised when I saw who asked the question. It was John who asked that question. John. Jesus' cousin, John, by the way. John said sometime earlier, "Behold, the Son of God that takes away the sins of the world." Do you remember that? He baptized Jesus. He didn't have a hard time recognizing him. He didn't look in the crowd and think, "Which one is he? I don't know who he is." He recognized right away, "That's the one." Yet he asked the question, "Are you the one to come, or should we expect someone else?" He knew who he was. In fact, he heard the voice say, "This is my Son of whom I am well pleased," from heaven. John knew Jesus was the one, so why ask the question now? I think it's fairly simple. I think it's pretty straightforward. John heard in prison what Christ was doing, and so he asked the question, right? He was in prison. And here's how Jesus answers it. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, "John, I am the one. I'm helping the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured. I'm the one who raises the dead. And John, listen to this. I'm also the one that's going to leave you in prison, and I'm the one who's going to allow you to die." See, the uncivilized see Jesus differently than the civilized. The civilized say Jesus always comes through for us. In fact, his ultimate goal is our safety and our happiness and our comfort and our convenience. Is that right? Is that Christianity? The civilized believe this statement: the safest place is in the center of God's will. What? That's so unbiblical. Now, I'm going to get in trouble for this statement, because somebody's going to say, "Bob, the safest place is in the center of God." Yes. As far as eternal safety, absolutely. But when we think of safety, I don't think we're thinking like that sometimes. We think our own little narrow world, don't we, most of the time? And so here's what I'm saying. The safest place is not, by the way, in the center of God's will. If that's true, let's ask John the Baptist. "Hey, John, is the safest place in the center of God's will?" "No, no, 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 no." Has he lost his head, right? Because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Ask Paul. Read Paul's accounts, how he was beaten and left poor and left hungry and imprisoned. Ask him if the safest place is in the center of God's will. How about the disciples? Well, except for one, died martyr's death. Ask them, is the safest place in the center of God's will? I think the only people who really believe are the civilized. In fact, I think we almost tell people that accepting Jesus as your Savior will mean sacrificing nothing, losing nothing, worrying about nothing. Is that what it is? See, Jesus' death was not meant to free us from pain. Jesus' death was not meant to free us of pain, but to free us from the fear of dying. And that's powerful. If you're not afraid of death, you're not afraid of much anything. Jesus came to free us to do this, to die up front and then live, to give our lives. Listen, here's the truth. We cannot choose how or when we will die, but we can choose how we'll live. We can't choose how or when we'll die, but we can choose how we'll live. We can become embittered with God because we don't think he comes through for us like we think he should. Jesus says, God blesses those who are not offended by me. It seems like a line that's so out of place if we don't understand that Jesus is saying to John, hey, look, you're going to die in here. See, too often we invite people to step into a comfort and safety and security of Jesus Christ. We tell them that Jesus will bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you and bless. Will he? Yes. But we also make it sound like he's going to give you more and more and more and more and more and take care of you in all the ways. And the report will never come back cancer. That we'll never have heartache with our kids. That our hearts won't break sometimes. We almost tell people or give them that impression. I don't see that biblically. What we want sometimes is our egocentric comforts. Maybe we need to stop and we need to step back and say, really, here's the deal. It's not about you. It's not about you. Christ is worth dying for, and he wants you to throw yourself at his feet. In fact, I think he wants to say, it may even mean, hey, look, you may accept Jesus. It may mean a life of suffering and hardship and sacrifice, but here's what I want to tell you. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's more worthwhile and fulfilling to have a life for Jesus Christ than getting everything from this world without Jesus Christ. Scripture's pretty clear on that. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and gives up his soul? And I'm afraid we've forgotten that. That too often we've become too civilized. And we don't invite people to the Jesus that I see again and again. A Jesus that says, I'll be with you. I've conquered death. You just keep walking. Keep believing. Keep trusting. That's the life we're called to. And sometimes it does mean heartache. So the question is, are you willing to lose everything on God's behalf? You know, rather than living a long life, are you willing to live a life worth living? Barbarians see Jesus differently than the culture see Jesus. Goes on in Matthew 11, 7 to 10, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What do you go to see in the desert? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what do you go see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what do you go see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. In fact, this is the one that's written, I'll send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Then later, Jesus throws out this dilemma in verse 18 and 19. He says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Didn't you notice this? From both extremes, nobody was happy with what a person connected to God looked like. Isn't that something? You know what I'm so thrilled about in the Christian world is there's no norm. It isn't like God just takes a certain group of people. Okay, now you got to look like this. Now you got to look like this. You got to have this haircut. You got to vote this way. You got to think this way. You got to have this. Oh, come on. That's not it at all. I love the diversity we can have. I love that about us. They come in all shapes, sizes, ways, beliefs, thoughts. Jesus shows us that disciples of Christ look different than you might expect. I'll never forget praying for a guy when I went to my church in Indiana after I was going to college. And I saw this guy come in and he looked like he lived a pretty hard life. And let me tell you what, I thought, wow, amazing this guy's in church. Man, this guy needs Jesus, I'm sure. The next day, I started my evangelism class, and I was surprised when I walked into class, and there this guy was. This was door-to-door evangelism. And the guy that led the class, John Odd, who was one of my spiritual heroes, says, hey, I want to introduce you to a guy that's touched more people for Jesus than anybody I know. And he says, hey, Louis Twible. And the guy gets up, and it's him. Because what this guy would do, he just had this really long hair. He drove this truck that, seriously, you need a stepladder to get in, there's big old tires. And it was just, I mean, it was not the picture of the Christian I had in mind. But I'll never forget what this guy did. This guy would go to the square in Marion, Indiana, and cars used to just go around and around and around. Kids would stand around and just, his high school kid and Louis Twible every week would go there and just pass out tracts and tell people that he loved him and cared about him. I went a couple times with Louis. And it was amazing when they would see him. Hey, Louis, come here. And they wanted a part of him. And he wanted a part of them. You know why? Because he was uncivilized. He just loved Jesus. How many of us would welcome John? You know, if you heard John was speaking today and they said, hey, he wears animal skins and he eats locusts around in the desert. Yeah, there's a guy I'm going to go listen to. You know, you have a guy like that today. He's medicated, you know. You know, we think John was out of his mind. He's crazy. But here's the question. If this is the person who prepared the way for Jesus, then what should a disciple of Jesus Christ look like that comes after Jesus? How come for many of us what it means to be a Christian is being a good citizen, being a nice person? The entire focus of our Christianity sometimes is this, elimination of sin. If we just take out more sin than we're putting in, woohoo, we made it. Is that what Christianity is? Elimination of sin? Maybe do the do's, don't do the don'ts, you know, whatever. Maybe it should be this. Maybe it should be the unleashing of a unique, original, extraordinary, unbelievable, even insane life for Jesus Christ. Maybe that's what it should look like. Maybe it should be taking your personality and plugging it into the world. Because there's people that need you to be Jesus to them, to be his hands and his feet and his heart and his mind. See, you'd think what Jesus does is work to make you normal. That's not it. When I see scripture, is people are driven away from normal by the living God of the universe. In fact, the New Testament indicates you can't do normal and be a follower of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says crazy things, doesn't he? He says, hey, want to be first or want to be great? Then become least. Want to be first? Be last. Want to lead? Then serve. You want to live? Then die. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Forgive those who hurt you. Share your possessions. What? See, you can't be normal. You can't be normal civilized Christians. We're barbarians. And I see it in some of you. Some of you aren't normal. And that's good. The uncivilized see Jesus differently than the cultured. The uncivilized know the mission of Christ is different than the civilized. The kingdom of God has been violently advancing, it says. Did you see that line? Violently advancing. That seems weird to me. That seems pretty uncultured. Forcefully advancing. That's not politically correct. Jesus says, hey, Christians, we're in a war, doesn't he? We're in a war. See, we're not at peacetime. We're at a war. And those of us who live for Christ cannot live in the material world. We cannot limit ourselves to what we see with our human eyes because we're in a battle, an unseen battle, a kingdom battle. Because we realize that people's lives are forever changed by what happens in the invisible. In fact, we're called by God to be warriors of light. We're called by God to realize that just beyond the light is darkness. And we go into that darkness where there's uncertainty and mystery and even evil. But we advance for the light. We advance. For the light we bring is the only hope that some people have, that everybody has. And we need to bring our light. For you are the light of the world, Christians. The kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing, and the church should be an unstoppable force. Because I believe this. I believe there's no problem in the world stopping the church. All the problems stopping the church are inside and not outside. The world's not stopping us from making a difference. It's when we limit God and don't trust him. It's when we become civilized instead of being barbarians. It was Jesus who said, I'll build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do we believe that? I learned somewhere that all animals have names for their groups. You know, bees are a swarm, right? Bees are a swarm. Cattle are a herd. Lions are a pride. Good job. Guess what a group of crows are? They're a murder. Yeah, they're a murderer. Wow, somebody's smart. Now, guess what a group of buzzards are called? They're called a committee. Any committee meetings coming up? Flamingos are flamboyants. But my favorite group of all is a group of rhinos. See, a rhino can run 30 miles an hour. Now think about this, 30 miles an hour. You ever see the size of those things? In their tonnage, they can run 30 miles an hour with that horn in the middle. But here's the problem. They can only see 30 feet in front of them. 30 miles an hour can see 30 feet in front of them. So know what they're called? This is true. They're called a crash. But you know what? That's what I want to be, because anyone who says that they can see 20 years in the future is lying. The future is mystery. The future is there to be created. See, we need to be moved together as God's people like rhinos. 30 miles an hour and only can see 30 feet in front of us. Do you know why we need to be more like rhinos? Because what's 31 feet in front of you doesn't matter to the rhino. It better get out of the way. And that's how I think the church should be. I think the church should be more like a rhino sometimes and quit looking what our five-year plan is, our 10-year plan is, our 20-year plan is, and say, where's the Spirit leading right now? And how can I make a difference now? Not that we shouldn't have a 5-year or 20-year or 30-year plan. But sometimes say, God, we're going to just start listening to the Spirit and start being what God wants us to be. Barbarians for Jesus Christ. Start inviting people to come. Because you know what? The local church is the hope of the world. My mother died 6 years ago. My mother was not a church person at all. We were not raised in church at all. But my mother heard that one of my professors was speaking about 15 miles from where she lived, and so she went and heard him, and she called me up that same day and said, Bob, you'll never guess what I did today. I said, what did you do, Mom? She said, when the altar call was given, I went and knelt down and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And you know what the best part was? The local church stepped up and loved my mother just like she was. She had some habits that were bad. She didn't have very flowery church language. She didn't act like a church person, but know what I know about Mom? She loved Jesus. And this beautiful local church wrapped their arms around my mom and said, we love you. We accept you. Come on in and be a part of us. And she got to use her unique gifts of loving people and caring about people to make a difference in the local church. And you know what? Jesus saved her, but the local church rescued her. Do you understand that? And that's what we need to be. We need to be a rescue station for people. We need to start really making a difference in the lives of people and stop being cultured. Just start saying, God, if you speak to my heart, I'll respond. Because that's what we're called to do, aren't we? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? I just wonder if the Spirit spoke to some people today that said, you know what, sometimes I live too civilized. Sometimes I come in with a mask on and look real good while I'm dying inside. Sometimes I don't invite people, I don't open my mouth and give my story or just invite them to be a part of a place that can change lives, to be a part of this beautiful family. And you just want to say, Bob, I just want to get back to uncivilized Christianity to be what God wants me to be. And you'd say, Bob, I want you to know, and I want God to know. I want to make a commitment. And I'm just going to slip my hand up and say, yeah, God, I want to be that. Would you just slip your hand up right now? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you, okay? Father, I pray for each person that raised their hand today and those that maybe just lifted their heart to you. May you help us to be uncivilized for Jesus Christ, to be who you made us and not try to be something we aren't. Father, the world needs the personality that you've given us. Somebody needs us just the way we are. Help us to take off masks and start being the person that you made us so we can make a difference in our world for Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this great church family that I love. and that I feel very connected to. Would you just give them a great day and a great week? A blessing, but blessing to help others. And it's not about us. It's about you. Because it's all about Jesus. And we give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. Hope you have a great week.